Hey, gorgeous, and welcome to this episode of The Magnetic Woman Show. I'm your host, Lauren Joyce, top sex, love, and relationship expert for leaders, influencers, entrepreneurs, and powerful women. I am so excited for this episode today because this is something that I see time and time again with my clients. This is something that I have really worked on in my own life. And I think that it's something that most women do. So the question is, are you overgiving in love? And usually for so many of us, especially for us really powerful, intuitive, empathic women who have done work on yourselves, like your wounding, past stories, past belief systems, chances are you are overgiving in a relationship and you're doing the majority of the emotional work. And even if you don't classify yourself as like a helper healer, I think for us as women, that has typically been a role that we have been forced to, conditioned to play in relationships, that of the one who bears the brunt of the emotional burden in the relationship. So before we dive into what this actually looks like, I want to give you a little bit of a history lesson, which you know I love to do because I love history and I love reading and watching historical dramas and even some historical fiction, because I think it helps to put so much into perspective, right? And when I work with my high-level clients, so whether I'm working with them privately or in my inner circle, which is my high-end private coaching and mastermind hybrid, one thing I think that we can easily forget about when we're in the midst of confronting patterns that aren't serving us, behaviors that aren't serving us, is that there's a reason why we are doing this work now, right? So for thousands of years, the way that women got power, influence, and could really live out any kind of life was if they married, quote unquote, well. And if their husband would take care of them. And, you know, without going too deep into why marriage was created or monogamy or not monogamy or anything like that, right? Marriages for thousands of years were based on politics, power, land, securing paternal lineage. Meaning, if a man married a woman, everything was passed down paternally, like through the father's lineage. So women weren't allowed to own their own land, have their own money, wield or use any kind of power. And of course, there's always exceptions, but as a whole, this was the case. And, you know, it wasn't until what, the 1960s or 70s, that women were allowed to have their own credit cards and didn't need their husbands or their fathers to co-sign, right? So like, this was the majority of our history as women. And so because marriage was like was the goal for women, because we didn't have a way to move through the world on our own, we had to fit into the confines of what the patriarchy believed to be a good wife. And because everything was passed down paternally, men needed, and needed is in very big air quotes here, men needed to know that they were the father of these children, specifically the sons, so that that land, that money, that title could be passed down through the father's lineage. And so what that meant was, in order to be, quote, a good wife, which is, again, what the end goal was for women, because we couldn't do anything else on our own, you had to be appeasing, appealing, accommodating. You had to be, quote unquote, like a good girl, meaning not in the sense of being good as in being loving, being compassionate, But being good as in playing by the rules of the patriarchy as a woman, which means not being your full self. So now fast forward, let's even take the last 100 years, for example. You know, our great grandmothers 100 years ago they just were getting the right to vote. And then our grandmothers were allowed to work outside of the home and work above the level of a secretary, maybe, right? And our mothers were either fighting for the right to have their own credit cards or coming right after that, right? And so for us as women, I think we can forget that creating relationships based on being the fullest expression of yourself and having needs, desires, and wants that you not only understand are important, but that get to be met is a very new concept for women. And it's very historically new, right? And so here we are. So many of the women that I work with privately or in my inner circle, it's easy to forget that we're doing this work now. You're doing this work now. You're confronting these patterns and behaviors because the women before you, not that they just chose not to, they didn't have the opportunity to, right? They were so focused on being able to survive on their own as women, as being able to fight for freedoms and independence that, albeit, we take for granted now, right? And again, I'm bringing this up because I want to put into perspective, it can feel like this massive burden sometimes when you're the woman in your family lineage that's healing traumas, that's changing stories, that's changing how you approach life. And sometimes there can be this built up resentment of the women in your family, the women that have come before you, like, why am I the one doing this work? Why am I the one that's left to carry this load? And it's because they were fighting other battles that had to be fought in order for you to approach these things. And if we think about it in the same vein for men, relationships built on companionship, built on true equal partnership is very new. So you're coming into, in a way, a very new paradigm, and nobody has the correct tools or resources to do this effectively. And this is why I have been saying so much recently, because I think especially for you leaders, entrepreneurs, powerful women out there, there can be a sort of shame, a sort of guilt, a sort of self-criticism of like, why don't you know these things? Like, why aren't you having the relationship that you want? And the reality is you were never given the tools. And every single person on this planet has wounding around love. You've had heartache, you've had heartbreak, you've closed yourself off, you've shut down your heart, you've learn patterns of attachment and relating from childhood that aren't serving you in creating a truly supportive, intimate partnership that you really desire. And so what I see is, because for thousands of years, all women could do was hope to be a wife and then take on those like good girl, good quote unquote, good conditioning of being accommodating, being appeasing, right? And I recently read an article that talked about at the turn of the 20th century, so the early 1900s, there was manuals out around marriage. And basically what it said were like, women, you need to understand that men are violent and that they want sex way more than you and they'll take it from you, AKA they will rape you, your husbands, and that shows that they love you. Like, we have had such awful conditioning around love and partnership, right? And so here you are, a modern woman. If you're in my community, chances are you're in like your mid-20s to maybe like mid to late 40s. That's like the average woman who's in my community. Granted, I have younger women and older women. And you've created success, you've created independence, you've created freedom, like you feel pretty good about where you are in terms of your career, and yet you're not getting what you want out of a relationship. And here's what has happened for you in the past, or you may even be in this cycle now. You overgive and you overfunction. And the reason why you do that, right, is because very early on as a child, you learned that if I do be or act in a certain way, this secures me love. So for the majority of women who I work with and who are doing this work now, chances are you somehow functioned as a parent when you were a child. So either you were parenting your parents emotionally, maybe physically, you were parenting your younger siblings, you were showing up as the good girl, like the perfect girl, so not to create more chaos or disrupt the family dynamic. And again, it's not because your parents were bad or wrong or malicious. All of our parents did the absolute best that they could. But again, it is our generation, it is now in history that we are actively confronting generational trauma. Like that was not a thing that our mothers were doing, that our grandmothers were doing on a whole. And so you learned very early on that love was conditional. And you learned it because maybe if you were mad or upset or threw a tantrum, you were told that good girls don't do that. Or that if you're mad or if you're upset or if you throw a tantrum, something's going to be taken away from you, right? And as children, we are innately narcissistic, meaning if something happens in our outside world, we think it's because of something we did or who we are. That layered on with patriarchal conditioning, which in and of itself, the system is basically like, not basically, the system is, if you are not a man or overly exhibiting masculine energetic traits, you are worth less than those men or those masculine energetic traits, right? The majority of little girls did not have female role models who were being the fullest expression of themselves, who were like, had emotional mastery, who were fully embodied in their sensuality and their sexuality, who honored and loved their intuition, who truly honored being a woman, right? You know, I hear so many stories from women about the first time they got their period or their first menstruation and how alone they felt, how ashamed they felt, how maybe they didn't even learn about it. And you might think like, oh, well, that has nothing to do with it, but that truly is a mental, physical, spiritual rite of passage that we don't mark at all for women. And in fact, we shame them. We, you know, force feed women these products that are supposed to quote unquote change how you smell and all these things. And basically the underlying message is you as a woman, your female quote unquote parts, your genitals, your pussy are wrong, dirty, and like need to be changed. And that really is the patriarchal message for us as women. So again, here you are, you learn very early on that what you do, what you say, how you act has a direct correlation to whether or not you will get love, whether or not you will be safe, and in a sense, how lovable you are. So I would say like 99.9% of the world is running around with these stories, these beliefs, this energetic imprint unchecked and unconscious. So you show up into a relationship and I mean, God bless the 90s, but those and early 2000s, but those rom-coms really did a number on us as well, right? So many of the rom-com stories were like, here's this like good girl and here's this bad boy who's emotionally unavailable and shut down, but she's quote good enough to open him up and then he only wants to be with her. So then this just like reinforces the story and you show up into relationships thinking that how you act, what you do, and like how much you can do for the other person is going to secure you love. So you leave your needs, wants, and desires on the back burner if they make it to the burner at all. And what happens is in the relationship dynamic, you take on the pain, you take on the development, you try maybe to coach, you try and step into your helper healer, because the story that what I do is how I secure love is constantly running in the background. And then here you are, this empowered woman, this woman who's into self-development and spirituality and wealth consciousness and luxury and lifestyle and all of these things. And you show up in a relationship and you're like, I do not feel like myself. Right? I feel like I'm checking parts of myself at the door. I feel hollow. I feel like a shell of myself. I remember that line going through my head so often in the past where I was like, okay, here I am. I'm doing all this work. I am like so sexy. I'm in touch with my pussy. And then I'll get into a relationship and I'm like, shrinking, holding back, definitely not having emotional needs whatsoever. So if something would upset me, I would retreat. I would spend like a day doing inner work on myself and on him, right? In like trying to, and then come at it and like, okay, I'll like overstep this minefield of what's going to trigger him or trigger me so that I don't have to be vulnerable in this. Like, and the more I can be perfect, the more I can quote, do the right things, the safer this will feel and the more secure this love will be. And what I found time and time again is it consistently cost me the freedom of self-expression. It consistently cost me a sense of being who I truly was. And it consistently actually cost me a sense of love and intimacy because I wasn't being my full self. So here I am feeling like, yeah, he loves me, but like, he doesn't really know me. He doesn't know all these things are upsetting me. He doesn't know all these things that I'm working through. But it was like, I felt like I was getting ready to go into battle, and I'd go into battle and I'd be like, okay, just retreat. Like, I could not change the behavior because I was still functioning from the story of what I do and how much I give is what determines how lovable I am. And again, whether or not you resonate with this idea of being a helper healer, so you might be a coach, you might be a therapist, you might just be someone who's done self-development, who's empathic, who's compassionate, and or just from a very early age, you took on a parental role. And so it's imprinted in your brain and in your nervous system that in relationships that result in love, you have to take care of. And that narrative has been perpetuated for thousands of years. Like, we are the ones taking care of the other person. And it's exhausting, and it's actually not what you're meant to be doing. So the way this works in terms of polarity with the masculine and the feminine is the masculine wants to be in service to the feminine. But the masculine cannot be in service to the feminine if you are not being the fullest expression of yourself, which to me in actuality is you being in your feminine essence. You being the fullest expression of yourself is you being in your feminine essence, right? Feeling like your needs, wants, and desires are worthy of being acknowledged and of being met, and you deserve to have them met. And here's the kicker, just because of who you are, not because of what you do. And it can seem like a really simple shift, like, okay, I'll just move out of what I do secures me love to who I am is enough to be lovable. And, you know, I had a call with a private client the other day who really like made this shift. And she was like, Lauren, it just feels so easy now. And I was like, yes, it feels easy because you're being your true self, like your truest essence. But it wasn't easy getting there because it's kind of like an onion of conditioning. Like, your core essence, your full expression is there in the middle. You might be able to see it. You might be able to feel it from time to time. But there's these layers of conditioning, pain, stories, trauma, attachment that are blocking you from showing up that way in your relationship. And what I want you to really hear me on in this is you are not alone. You are not alone in this. But again, so many powerful, successful women, you hold so much shame and guilt and judgment around your relationships. And we've been taught to relate to other women through comparison and through complaining, through negativity. So you're struggling in isolation. Right? And so how does this play out in your life? Well, it takes a hit on your confidence in every area. You're not sensually or sexually or romantically fulfilled. And it doesn't matter if you're single or in a relationship, right? You are disconnected from your body. You're numbing out with TV, social media, food, alcohol. You're afraid of deep, true intimacy with women, like friendship wise and with men, or vice versa, right? If you're in same-sex partnership, like, you're afraid of real, true intimacy in friendships and in romantic partnerships. You hold back on what you want and what you need. You overtake the burden professionally, personally, of like accommodating others way before you look to have anything met for yourself. And so it's like, what do you do? How do you fix this? And here's the thing, my loves. All of the tools that you've learned that have gained you the success that you have professionally do not apply here. They don't. It's not about doing more. It's not about giving more. It's not about showing up more fully or being enough. If any question of enoughness comes up for you, enoughness, am I enough or am I too much? Then you are functioning under this old paradigm that will never get you what you want. Never. So what you need is, it's one of my favorite sayings is like, the solution will not come from the thinking that created the problem. What you need is an entirely new paradigm. It's about you being in your full feminine self. You healing, embracing, and celebrating your sensuality and your sexuality. It's about you learning the tools and practices that help you create a sense of connection to your feminine essence and thusly feeling worthy as you are, and learning the tools and the practices to actively create the relationship that you desire. It's going to take different behavior. It's going to take different practices than what you're doing right now. And so this is exactly why I've opened up the doors for my high-level inner circle, which is 6 months of private coaching and 6 months of a small group mastermind. So you get private access to me and access to a small group of women. Because again, so many of you are suffering in silence. So many of you are unhappy in your relationships and not talking to anybody about it and not fixing it, right? Or you're going to like talk therapy and it's not doing anything because you're not changing anything in your life. And so the inner circle is for the woman who is ready to shift into her true feminine power. So one of the ways that I've explained it is it's about mastering and integrating your queen, your seductress, and your living goddess. So that power, that sense of reign in your life, the money, the wealth, the abundance, your seductress, your embodiment, the juiciness, the pleasure, and your living goddess. So your intuition and your connection to the fact that you as you are is enough, because you as you are is divine, right? So I only have 6 spots remaining for the inner circle. There's the info page in the sale notes. I'm sorry. There's the info page in the show notes, or you can go to themagneticwoman.com/inner-circle or just reach out to me, because at the end of the day, we have to have a conversation about why you want to join before I accept you into the program. So 6 months of private coaching, 6 months of a small group mastermind, 2 retreats, 1 virtual, hopefully, fingers crossed, 1 in person. And if you're looking for something right now in the moment that is going to help you dip your toes in or help give you tools and practices and content to make this shift from doing in order to get to being to attract, then you want to go to themagneticwoman.com/membership and join the membership. I'm hosting a 3-day event, Mastering the Magnetic Feminine Art. So these are really the foundational concept, tools, and practices to help you be magnetic in life, love, and leadership. And let's not forget, our feminine is actually the leader when it comes to love. The masculine isn't leading anything. The masculine wants to be in service to the feminine. So it's all about the feminine desire and vision. But you have to come into a sense of, I am enough and I am worthy, and you can't do it under this old paradigm. Okay, my loves, if you've enjoyed this show, make sure to subscribe to the podcast, leave me a review and a comment. If you have any questions or even any topics you want me to address in future shows, make sure to reach out, and I'll see you next time.